Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Dick Morris is a commentator on Fox News, and Dick had a bad year because, you know, he was predicting in 2012 that Mitt Romney would win the presidential election, and he was wrong. And now, not only was he wrong, but he made an agreement to go on the Piers Morgan show and essentially, you know...
Well, and he's letting Piers Morgan interview him, and that's the same thing as willingly volunteering for a gutting, a gelding, a disembowelment.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I think that Piers Morgan's all that.
Well, I didn't say Piers Morgan is all that. I really don't know. You know, if I think about Piers Morgan long enough and hard enough, excuse me for saying hard enough, because now...
Well, you know something, Phyllis, that's the kind of thing that's misinterpreted.
If I think about Piers Morgan long enough, I would probably come to some conclusion as to, but I don't watch the show, and I don't avoid it. I just, it's on when I'm working, and I the last thing I'm going to do, man, leading up to the radio show, is sit down and watch any of that crap. I don't need to go into the radio show in a suicidal frame of mind. O'Reilly, Piers Morgan... All of those shows should only go off the air forever and ever and ever. I hate them so very deeply. Okay, but as long as this cat's on the air, so here comes Dick Morris, who I met years ago at some sort of a... What the hell was he doing?
I think you were there for the anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, I was in New York for the anniversary of 9/11, one of the anniversaries. And a little guy came walking up to me. I'm not saying this to be... Seriously, this was the first impression I had. It was like a guy, it was like a little guy, you remember the little guys who would walk up to you on the playground at school? Hey, Phil, you know, and that's who it was Dick Morris. And he was a very nice man, and now I know who this is. And he was very nice, and he said that he liked my show, and he asked me if I had any spare change, because...
No, he didn't.
I'm kidding. No, I know he didn't. No, he was a nice guy, but now, you know, he has been... just absolutely has had his ass ripped up one side and down the next for this whole, you know, not picking Romney and all this stuff about this Sandy, you know, the impact of Sandy and what that did. So.
Well, he wound up looking like a real jackball.
Yeah, pretty much. Wound up looking like a jackball and couldn't call it right. And now I think he's making the mistake of mistakes. He is on TV with Piers Morgan. All right, moving on to something a little bit better. A judge, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but a judge threw some kid in jail for 30 days because she flipped him off. Now, that's the end of the story, but the beginning of it and everything that transpired from the beginning to the end of the story was quite amazing, and yet you have to understand that there are young people that...
Well, this is something, as a mother, I love these stories. I like to dig my fingers into stories like these. I really like to massage them. And I like to, as a mother of a 14-year-old son, as I report these stories, as I write these stories, I like to have Jason J. Delmonico somewhere nearby. And I say, now look, take a look at this and watch what I'm going to do to her now. Because what I do is I report the story and then I give it my spin, which is the same thing as if I were to tie her to the bumper and drag her. Now, I know that's an ugly image, Phil.
I'll say it's an ugly image.
Don't get on your high horse.
God!
No, but I figuratively will tie a kid like this to the bumper of my Mercedes and drag her down the street. Now, we don't have asphalt, we have cement. But, enough said.
All right, so how does that play into your son?
It doesn't play into my son.
No, but what are you doing? What is Jason J. Delmonico witnessing?
Well, no, I'm writing the story, and I'm saying, look at this, Jason J. I said, look, you want to see what I'm going to do to your girlfriend now? Watch this.
What do you mean, your girlfriend?
Well, because every teenage boy sees himself as the one that will tame the wild horse. He sees himself as the one that will tame the wild mare. This little trollop, this street girl, this thing that was in front of this judge... gave the judge lip, which I would have smacked the taste right out of her mouth. I don't know what the judge was waiting for.
Your judge is not going to... He can't hit her.
Well...
You know, the judge can't come down off the bench and smack her.
Well, he was, though, able to...
Yes, he uses the authority of the court. To me, that's better. But when you say that every 14-year-old boy sees himself as a savior of a girl like this, so your son, Jason J. Delmonico, saw the story.
Yes, he saw the story, and he saw his mother writing a follow-up, because I did a piece for the Dicklin Syndicate. And I called it, what did I call it? I said it was 30 days in the hole for a pre-hole. And I rewrote it. I worked with it.
Wait, 30 days in the hole for a pre-hole?
Yes, because I wanted to work in horror, and I wanted to. So I finally just said, 30 days for the pre-whore in the hole.
Yeah, I think I started in the Daily Smoke, or in the Santa Monica Smokeout.
Yeah. What's the Santa Monica Smokeout?
Oh, well, what's the Phil Hendry Show?
I'm sorry, I've never heard of it.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you're working on it.
The Santa Monica Smokeout, it's the smoke signal, not the smokeout.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's going to take the Daily Breeze, which is the Santa Monica paper right now, and it's going to turn it into wipe. All right? Does that spell it out for you?
All right. So it's a new paper.
It's a new paper with a very, very professional staff. I'm one of the editorial writers. I'm also one of the reporters. I also do some, not all, of the classifieds. And I, well, it sounds like we don't have a staff, the way I'm saying it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing everything.
Well, I'm not doing everything.
All right, okay, so let's forget about that. The Daily Smoke Signal?
No, the Santa Monica Smoke Signal.
It's the Santa Monica Smoke.
I don't want it called the smoke because of the thoughts that go through your mind.
Margaret, you look, it. Everybody knows what a smoke signal is, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that when you use the word smoke that we've got to go down that filthy road again. God, there's so more words are getting, you know.
Well, we can't use any word at all because of Margaret.
Not, what do you mean because of Margaret? You're the ones that were talking. Wasn't it him that was saying, you know, where does it say poll, you know, blank, blank in the Constitution?
No, that was R.C. Collins, okay? Now, look.
Who?
R.C. Collins.
Who is he? Who's R.C. Collins?
The Bradley Military Academy, where he's got Watson's his friend, and they're going to rip off Michael Myers' head.
What did he just say?
Never mind what he said. So, all right. In the Santa Monica Smokeout, or the smoke signal, or the smoke.
It's the smoke signals. God.
All right. You've written a piece on the girl that flipped off the judge, and it's called what?
It's called 30 Days in the Hole for the Pre-Whore. I don't know. That's what I'm playing with right now.
Well, is it published already?
Yes.
Well, if it's already published...
You already published it? Then that's the title.
Don't tell me what to do with my life.
We're not telling you what to do with your... What's the name of the article?
Here. What's that say?
30 Days in the Hole.
Well, that's not what it's called.
Well, that's what it says here in the paper.
Well, I'm changing it.
All right, so 30 days in a hole.
No, 30 days for the whore in the hole. I like that. Get Frank on the line, will you please?
No, Margaret.
Get Frank on the line. 30 days for the whore in the hole. Yes.
All right. So she got 30 days. Your read on this was that the judge, I think you said the judge was... A bit moderate, right?
I felt he was. I felt the judge was a little moderate because I felt that the girl deserved much, much more. Phil, we're talking about a court of law, and we're trying to teach what's left of this generation of young people. We're trying to teach them the rights from the wrongs. We're trying to teach them the goods from the bads. Frank, is that you?
Yeah, Frank Gray.
Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
And it's Margaret. Hello, dear.
Yeah. How you doing, young man?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm better than Custer.
All right. Margaret has something to ask you.
Frank, darling, the title of my article...
Yeah, 30 Days for the Whore in a Hole.
Right. Can we get that changed?
Oh, jeez. Oh.
Oh, he's getting melodramatic.
I'm not getting melodramatic, Margaret. This is the second night in a row that you want me to call that editor up over there. Get her out of bed and have her go down and change the name of the GD article is 30 Days for a Whore in the Hole, okay? That's what you want to call him. That's what he's going to be, all right? He's a little, 15-year-old girl that made a terrible mistake, and you want to turn him into what was the name of the Phil? What was the name of the guy on television? She had a sidekick named Chico.
Hopalong Cassidy.
Is it Hopalong Cassidy?
Yes, that's what you were going for.
No, I was not. I went for Krakatoa. I know what it was. Krakatoa East of Java.
Krakatoa East of Java was a movie about a volcano.
Right.
Well, that's not a Hopalong Cassidy.
Well, there was a cowboy or something, wasn't there?
Frank, think about it. It was a movie about a volcano. Now, look, what is wrong with the article?
I think the article from one side to the next, up one side and down the next, is an abomination in the eyes of God. I think she... If she were to come back again, if Jesus were to come back again, and she read your article, she'd say to the Romans, please, crucify me now. Let's not even wait. And the Romans would say, well, don't you have a lot of nonsense? Jesus would say, yes, but I just read an article by Margaret Gray, and I don't know what he was thinking. I can't even use it as decent wipe. Please, hammer me up now, and let's get out of this thing let's get out of this in time for the Cubs game. I'm telling you.
What you just said there, Frank, I can't even believe you're my husband. That was the most sacrilegious thing. All right?
Margaret, the only thing that's sacrilegious about that is because I knocked the article that you wrote. That's what you think is sacrilegious.
I do not. I was asking you about the title.
I told you 50 times over the weekend what I thought of the title. I said 30 days in a hole for a whore is fine. And you said, oh, we got to rework it. And Bill Hendry here, you know, was, you know, I don't know what to say. I want to puke my living guts up, the stuff that's going on around here.
Well, I think, did we just lose our video cast? We just lost the video cast, yeah. I think we lost the video cast, and I'm looking at something up here that is jammed. Hold on for just a moment. So, what do you think of that, Margaret?
Well, what do I think of it? I'll tell you what I think of it. What I think is that it is an absolute unbelievable situation whereby Frank, who is my husband, who I love very much, and he is taking your side in this. That's what I find to be wrong.
Well, he's not taking my side in it. He's just simply saying that you are, you know, enough with the titles, okay? Enough with the titles on the, I don't know, enough with the titles on the article that has already been written about something that's already happened. And then, of course, every time we talk to Frank about this stuff, what do I get? I get Frank with the, you know, gender confusion. He's flipping me out. He's, you know, driving me ape. I don't understand what the hell it is he's talking about. I mean, the whole thing is just really messed up.
What do you mean you don't understand what he's talking about? What is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean? It means that I don't understand what he's talking about. She, he, him, you know. Let's take a break. Yeah, I should have broke a long time ago. I should have broke emotionally a long time ago. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Global warming can be slowed by working less. Do you hear that?
Oh, that's horse dung, and you know it. It is absolute horse dung.
Well, I'm saying global warming can be slowed by working less. Let's see what else we have here. What is this? Okay, yeah, we had a little bit of... I apologize to my very fine feathered friends watching us on our video cast. We had another disruption of service, but we are back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. And I heard something really interesting yesterday that is a little whack, but it basically is this. There's a doctor who can read injuries that are going to occur in the human body by looking at blood cells. Now, here's the weird part. When he looks under a microscope at blood cells, he can see shapes of future events.
But
hold on, bud.
You gotta be putting me on.
Hold on. A woman had come to see him, and he read her blood cells. This is, it's, to me, it sounds too kooky to believe, but a friend of mine was talking to me about this. He looked under the slide of her blood cells, and he saw a collection of cells in the shape of a head, a neck, the neck bones, the spine, and whiplash occurring. Now, I know it sounds crazy, and believe me when I tell you, I'm the most skeptical guy that there is. And one of the reasons why I'm skeptical is because I grew up during the, you know, I came of age in the late 1960s when everything was, wow, you know, frogs raining from the sky. Everybody, you know, it was just every kind of wild theory people that people put forward, you believed because it was the time of it's all a lie and you don't know what the government's been hiding from us. And if you think that this conspiracy thing is new, man, I mean, come on. You know, back then, it was, oh my God, you know, you don't understand what they can do. So I came out of that very, very tempered against it. I sort of said, you know, I'm not going to believe a lot of these wild theories. And so here comes this theory about this guy is reading blood cells, and the form of the blood cells that he sees on the slide, he's seeing a head, he's seeing a neck, and he's seeing the head sort of being whiplashed. Well, guess what happened?
No.
Yes. 6 months later, this woman's in an automobile accident, and it was worse than whiplash. There was almost a decapitation. It didn't happen, and in point of fact, all it took was a neck brace, I think, and some intensive therapy, and there might even have been surgery involved, but there was an extreme injury to her neck in some kind of an automobile accident.
Now, wait just a minute.
I'm just telling, I'm not saying I believe it.
No, you're saying that he takes blood, puts it on a slide, looks at it through a microscope, and reads shapes like he's reading tea leaves?
Yeah.
Wow. You really want $300 worth, don't you?
Look, Margaret, I'm just telling you, I don't believe it.
Well, you're giving it. You gave us this story.
Yeah, you gave us this story. Let's get the real story, Mr. Henry, okay? You're giving us. You're giving me a lot of answers, but you're not giving me the right answer, okay?
What are you, Robert De Niro and Raging Bull? I'm giving you just the story that I heard.
Where'd you hear the story?
What am I getting interrogated?
We want to know the truth, Phil. You're putting this out on the air. Where'd you get the story?
Don't point your finger at me.
Where'd you get the story?
Don't push me, bud.
Where'd you get it?
I got it from a friend of mine.
Who?
I'm not going to say.
Female?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I knew it.
Oh, woman. You know, Phil, you're the biggest sucker. You're the biggest sucker for an ass in a pair of jeans.
Margaret.
No,
Yeah, I knew it. Look, Henry, you want to come in here, you know, give us all kind of a line and a dance and a song and a line. And
it's a song and a dance, okay?
Oh, well, you coming on in here, man. Give me the pony and the dog. What do you call it?
Dog and pony show.
Dog and pony show. I'll tell you right now, wasting my time, wasting the resources of, of the radio show. And all you tell me about is see a lady's head. Man, you're crazy.
Yeah, get out of here, you punk.
Will you shut up? What are you guys, rehearsing for a play or something?
We got to know where you're getting this information, okay? Because if you're going to make us look like chumps, if you're going to drag us right down the crapper with you, we want to know where you're getting the information.
Margaret, I told you.
What's her name?
Hugh Blum.
You guys really think that just because I'm talking to a woman that I'm going to believe every damn thing she says, right?
Well, don't you?
I used to.
Yeah, you used to.
I used to. I'm better now.
You're better now.
I'm just telling you.
She told me to...
She told me. You are really a sucker.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. So I don't know, but I know there's a doctor attached to this, okay?
Oh, I'll bet there is. What mental hospital does he work at?
No, there is a doctor. His name is attached to this theory, to this thing, man. So I'm telling you, it's real, and it's... And if I had time, I'd look it up. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I don't have any time, do you, Mr. Henry? Do you, Mr. Henry? Answer my question.
Shut up.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, here's one that obviously interests us here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Dark patch pinned down in the brains of killers and abusers.
Well, Phil, again, you get so excited.
Whoa. This isn't a woman. This is just what is it with you guys?
Well, every time a woman tells you something, you believe it.
No, bull crap. No, I don't. Okay?
If you like her, you do. You want to believe everything she says. Phil, we're worried about you because... Well, I better not say.
Don't you dare. You happen to know something about me. Don't you dare.
It's good.
Don't...
Don't close your fist on me, Phil.
Well, then don't be talking about stuff I don't want you to talk about. Okay?
I just want to see...
I'll hurt a woman. Do you think I won't do it? I will do it. I will hurt a woman.
You heard him, ladies and gentlemen. He was threatening violence tonight, and now he threatens violence against me.
Hey, what is up with the camera tonight, man? Do you see that? I don't know. There's something really, really squirrely about what's happening here. I don't know what it is, but... All right. I'm sorry to be stopping and starting, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm looking at my video cast and it's going nuts. All right, let's listen to this. Dark patch pinned down in the brains of killers and abusers. A German researcher named Dr. Gerhard Roth is now making headlines following his going public with the news that he had succeeded in pinning down the exact spot where evilness lies in an individual's brain.
Yeah, sure.
Boy, oh boy, you fall for anything, don't you? First of all, a German researcher named Dr. Gerhard Roth, even the writer of this article, is rolling his eyeballs.
Hold on. More precisely, the neurologist maintains that after analyzing the brains of several convicted killers and abusers, he came to notice that their central lobe displayed what he described as a dark patch.
Yeah, maybe they ought to get some Tide or maybe some Clorox.
Good one.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy. You're not at some testimonial, okay?
What do you mean?
You're not at some dinner where you're banging a mug on the table. It is his belief that these dark patches... Could we just hold off with the laughter, please?
All right, Bud, Robert, Kenneth.
Well, look at you. All of a sudden, you're running the show, huh?
Don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. It is his belief that these dark patches are a clear indicator of the fact that the people who commit atrocious murders and similar violent deeds more often than not only do so because this glitch in the makeup of their brain urges them to follow this course of actions. As Daily Mail reports, Dr. Gerhard Roth's precise statements on the matter at hand were as follows. When you look at the brain scans of hardened criminals, there are almost always severe shortcomings in the lower forehead part of the brain.
Yeah, they got a small head.
Well, don't say that, but you always are going for the filth.
Margaret, you're always noticing the filth.
No, I'm not. I've tried to train him so that he avoids certain very explosive and charged phrases.
Oh, I see. And the small head?
Yes, that's a very charged phrase.
So, if you want to talk about somebody having a cranium that is smaller, how do you say it?
I don't know that there is a way.
Yeah, so just don't say small head, bud.
Because it's dirty.
Exactly.
You know what? We're going to have a meeting after the show.
Wait just a minute, Phil. I told Frank we'd go out for a salad.
Now, we're having a meeting after the show, so you can tell Frank to just sit in the car, and he can wait.
How long will this be for?
I don't know, but we're having a meeting after the show.
We're going to Claim Jumpers.
I don't care if you're going to Claim Jumpers.
Claim Jumpers open? I want to go get a salad, too.
What happened to you? Did you all of a sudden take a railroad spike through the head? Say that again.
Instead of Claim Jumper open, I get salad.
Man, there is something wrong with you.
No, there isn't.
He said his Claim Jumper's open. He'd like to go and get a salad, too.
Well, you're not coming with us. That's out.
We'll go together.
I gotta go with you. I got my own ride.
Oh, yeah, that thing that spits oil out there.
All right, will you cool it? Furthermore, there are cases where someone becomes criminal as a result of a tumor or an injury in that area, and after an operation to remove the tumor, that person was completely normal again. Now, we happen to know that this is true because we have the precedent of a variety of very well-known killers who wound up having some kind of a brain injury. In the case of Charles Whitman, he had a brain tumor. He was the guy who was the Texas Tower sniper. In the case of one very noted serial killer in California, I forget his name, he had a brain injury or a head injury from his youth. There, you know, it's pretty weird, and it's almost uncanny when they go into the backgrounds of some of the people that have been convicted of these violent crimes. They find a head injury of some kind. They find a brain injury of some kind. They find some kind of trauma there. Despite the fact that these findings suggest that violent behavior is the result of a faulty biological makeup, Dr. Gerhard Roth wished to draw attention to the fact that violent responses to various circumstances that an individual finds himself in are not necessarily automatic. In other words, there's always a choice to make, meaning that the brain can potentially find a way to compensate for and control these violent tendencies. Very important point.
What's that mean?
It means that even if you have a biochemical or a biologic tendency towards certain behavior because of this injury to your brain, you can still choose not to engage in that activity. Now, it'd be very interesting to go into that further. Exactly what are we talking about? It teaches us about choice. And why do we make choices? And how difficult is it for us to make one choice over another?
Well, I think it is very difficult to choose, for instance,
Well, how about...
Hold on. It's very difficult to choose...
Ms. Gray...
Hold on, I said. I'm thinking.
We've got a radio show to do.
Would you... It's difficult to choose.
What is it, choose?
Would you please shut up? It.
Margaret, come on.
Phil.
No, I'm sorry.
You are interrupting. It's difficult to choose. All right.
What is it with that choose? Because he's asking it too.
What?
What are you saying, choose?
Is there something wrong with you?
Man, Margaret, he's asking a question because you're going, it's difficult to chew woos.
Yeah, you're stretching it out.
Yeah, wouldn't you like me to stretch it out? I don't know what you're talking about.
You, when you make a point, you go, it's difficult to chew woos. You do that emphasis thing.
Oh, whatever it is that I do that bothers you, I'm going to do it more because I've had it with you and him and it and all of you being highly critical of the things... Okay, that I do woo. Now, I noticed I did it there. Is that what you mean? What, are you going to start to cry?
You look like you're going to cry, Mr. Henry.
I'm not going to cry. I just realized that I can't communicate with you. You just realized that you said chew woo?
No, I said do woo.
Yeah, she said do woo, not chew woo.
Is that right, Robert? Well, that's great. Well, you really got it down, man. She said do woo instead of chew woo. So I know I can trust you.
I'm trying to observe what you want me to observe.
I didn't ask you to observe that.
Yeah, so what's the point? She said choo-woo or doo-woo. The point is that if a tree falls, well...
Yeah, if a tree falls in the woods, what?
If I said doo-woo and you say I said choo-woo...
Now, look at this. See?
What?
It's David's line.
Yeah, I will explain to him everything like that.
Yeah, David.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I'm trying to figure out what she's talking about.
I'm down here at this bake-off, and I got Chedilia, and Chedilia is running around here shoving cake in his pants. And he said to me that you said it was okay. And he's using the name of the show, he's using the name of the company. Then I got Brad Rifkin over here. Brad, come here. What did you see, and when did you see it?
About 30 minutes ago, Phil and David, I saw Chef Carl Chedilia. He had lost another bake-off. This is the second bake-off that he's lost. He immediately took the lard-enhanced and lard-laden chocolate cake, which he had been, you know, as I told you, when he's at bait, and he took it and he crammed it in and everywhere, and then he said, I might as well be sitting in it. You heard that here, Phil? And
what are you doing, a report or something?
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what the hell's going on. I turned on the show minutes ago, and I'm listening to Chew-Woo, Woo-Woo-Woo. And do you understand this, Brett? My understanding is it's that Ms. Gray emphasizes things.
Excuse me, I'll speak for myself, thank you very much.
Well, Ms. Gray, you're going Chew-Woo-Woo-Woo-Woo. What does that mean?
It means that she's emphasizing certain words, it's driving everybody nuts, and your phone call isn't helping. Thank you.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. Don't get tough with...
Okay, I'm all finished with you. You can... Everybody meet me in the conference room after the show, okay?
Are you kicking us out?
Yes, I'm kicking you out. You, and you. Meet me in the conference room after the show. Everyone's kicked out.
Golly, I didn't do anything.
Just man up, will you?
You want me to leave this?
Yeah, give me all that stuff, okay?
You want me to take this?
No, don't take that. That's my coffee.
There, that's a parting shot.
Yeah, it's very adult.
Well, Phil, you know, I'm trying to emphasize. I said chew, woo, 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 and...
Yeah, I'll see you guys in the conference room.
Whatever.
Had to kick them out. They were driving me ape. And that call from Hall. That Hall from Call. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, we'll be right back. World famous. Phil, thank God I've still got my coffee. And this is damn good coffee. This is the Turkish stuff, baby. Don't ever let them take that away from you. They can take a lot away from you, man, but they'll never take that away from you. The Turkish stuff. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So basically what that means is the dark patch means that there's some predisposition, you know, to being a mental case, which takes me all the way back to the Ed Gein thing. And when I was reading about that, what are you guys doing?
Just sitting around doing nothing in there.
I don't want you in here, I'm telling you.
Well, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Get out of here. Okay, so it's going to be like that, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, the dark patch that they saw in this CAT scan indicates some kind of a malformed part of the brain.
You asked for it.
Are you doing that on purpose? I mean...
No.
But you asked for it.
But no, 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 I didn't ask for anything. I didn't ask for that.
I've got a problem.
Your brain, your...
No, he's doing it with his mouth.
No, I'm not.
So the biology. I'm gonna kick your ass. I'm gonna go Christian Bale on you people. Then you'll know.
You're not gonna go Christian Bale on me,
Margaret. Would you get out of here, all of you? Get out of here. In any event, so it indicates there's injury to the brain, and that can affect behavior, and there you go. And so I just wanted to follow up on that because people were asking about the choice thing. All righty. What else have we got here for you this evening on this very squirrely night? Now, today I went and did another episode of Rick and Morty, so look for that there on Adult Swim. It's a brand-new animated show. It's very funny. And Justin Roiland is one of the producers, along with Dan Harmon. It's our second week working on the show, having a blast doing it. The other thing that was mentioned on our Facebook fan page, and we're going to probably be writing more and more about it, is a new biopic on Vanessa Del Rio, the famed adult actress, the adult film actress Vanessa Del Rio, who has quite the story. A young girl from Brooklyn, New York, in, you know, very poor circumstances. And she, unlike a lot of her contemporaries, did not enter the world of adult films and pornography. She did not enter that world against her will, or she wasn't conned into it. She wasn't somehow manipulated and white-slaved. She chose it. She enjoyed it. She made a lot of movies, and she made a lot of money. And Thomas Mignon, the director of this, optioned the story. So I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm going to be working in that film. As I mentioned to you, we talked to David Vincent from Morbid Angel and other people, and that's going to begin production sometime this year. But I thought it was really interesting because here is a story of a woman, a female, in the world of adult films. And the story is not one of, I don't know what you would call it. It is not a story of abuse. It's a story of she made this life choice. And today she's retired. She's married. She lives on Long Island. She's involved in animal rights.
What is it about older women with animal rights?
What are you, have you guys been standing there all this time? Look at you guys, you're standing in a row.
No, just thought maybe you need to help.
What is what?
What is it about women with animal rights? I'm a woman, I'm pushing 60. I love animals, but I'm not about to have animal dung and feed bowls and this kind of thing throughout my house.
I don't know. There's a lot of women, famous women, that are into animal rights, like Brigitte Bardot, right?
No, I think that's Gina. Well, we discussed this the other night. It's Gina Lola Brigida. It's Gina Lola Bard.
Gina Lola Brigitte Bardoa.
No, it ain't Gina Lola Brigitte Bardoa. Why do you... You know, but some things just aren't funny, okay?
I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, what is it?
Gina Lola Brigitte... No, I don't know. I thought it was Brigitte Bardot.
Is it Gina Bardot? It could be Gina Bardot.
What? Are you guys doing this on purpose?
I'm telling you...
I know, Margaret, that there's an actress. I think it's Brigitte Bardot. Then there's Doris Day.
Who's she?
She was an actress.
In porn?
No, not in porn. Okay?
Well, I heard some stories.
I don't care the stories you heard, because we're going to get sued, all right? You understand?
Speaking of lawsuits.
Well, and then there is, you know, Ms. Del Rio and others. And it's kind of an interesting... Oh, I know who else. Kim Novak.
Kim Novak is into animal rights?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, that's surprising because I've been to party after party with her where she got her kicks. You saw the Michael Moore film, right?
Which one?
Roger and Me, where the rabbit is fed to the snake. Kim Novak got her laughs at parties doing that.
Oh, would you get out of here?
I swear to God.
Kim Novak, she feed her... A rabbit to a snake at a party?
For laughs.
This is how she got her jollies.
You know what, Margaret? You're cracking me up because that story is so funny. It's so ridiculous it's funny. But you really believe that you're telling the truth, right?
No. Phil, all I'm trying to do is make it to midnight without being bored to death by whatever it is you're trying to say. I'm sorry I had to just tear you down like that. What's so funny?
What's so funny? Kim Novak for laughs at parties fed rabbits to snakes. Oh.
I'm sure that's funny to old people who know who she is.
Okay, bud, fine.
But we don't know.
Fine, fine, fine. Nonetheless, there seems to be that phenomenon of animal. You know, I one of these days I'm going to get a dog, if for no other reason than, you know, I want something that can tear the throat out of anybody trying to break in. No, I'm kidding. One of these days we'll get a dog. I'll get a dog when I got the time for a dog. But they tell you that you're supposed to get a dog that meets your own temperament, right?
Exactly. That's what the dog whisperer says. You should get a dog that is a lazy slob. And it's not because you're a lazy slob yourself, Phil, but you just move very slowly.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you ought to get a St. Bernard to win a slobber.
A St. Bernard? Are you nuts, man? Those things eat like... How much do you think it costs to feed a St. Bernard?
Well, it would cost a lot of money.
Yeah, but the St. Bernard and you, two of you guys, that's perfect.
They do seem to have the same pace as you.
Are you trying to tell me that that's what I look like, a St. Bernard?
I didn't say look like.
No, but I mean the pace that I set in life is like a St. Bernard?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like St. Bernards. I think they're fantastic. They slobber too much, and to feed them, good God, what is it, about $1,000 a month or something?
What? You know, all you gotta feed a St. Bernard is a cut-up steak and hot dogs. Go down to the store and get the bulk steak, hot dog, and chuck roast.
And are you listening to what you're saying? Now to break me, for sure. Chuck roast, steak, hot dogs. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, now I'm hungry, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy the great many wonders that is the Phil Hendry Show. Until tonight at 10 o'clock Pacific, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.